Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to another segment of Let's Talk Fort Worth. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. A reminder, we do not own the rights to the music you just heard. Also, please click tag and share. Tell someone Let's Talk Fort Worth is on the air. And we're about to discuss the topic, should the March 1st election have been certified? There have been many new developments since the election that question whether moving forward with the certification of the elections was a fair thing to do for all the candidates involved. We're hearing that there were shortages of election judges. Some election judges were hired at the last minute, but not adequately trained. Shortages of poll workers, voters being turned away due to no Democratic poll workers being at certain locations. Candidates' names not appearing on ballots where they should have been. Candidates' literature inside polling locations on election day, as well as some candidates' signatures collected to get on the ballot were not completed properly and may contain fraudulent signatures. With the parties aware of all the above and some candidates asking for a recount, should the March 1st election have been certified? Those are just some of the questions we have for the Democratic and Republican Party. I tried reaching both parties today. However, I was only able to speak with the Republican Party. I spoke with Rick Barnes, the Republican Party chair. Basically, he stated that yesterday they did certify the election And then I asked him, was everybody satisfied in terms of the Republican candidates? Was everybody satisfied, and had anyone requested a recount? And I was told by Mr. Barnes today, late in the afternoon, that no one had requested a recount. With that said, let me open up my phone line, and I have a panel tonight of some people that you normally don't see or don't hear on Let's Talk Fort Worth. I'm going to open up the phone lines in just a second, y'all, as soon as I find my notes. We have Trevor Booker, former law enforcement and former candidate for Tarrant County Judge on this past March 1st, 2022 election. Also, we have Marvin Sutton, former Tarrant County Democratic Precinct 2635 Chairman, former Tarrant County Election Judge, former State Democratic Executive Committeeman representing Senate District 22. That includes the following counties: Tarrant, Arlington, Grand Prairie, Mansfield, Ellis, Waxahachie, Falls, and Marr. And he was also a former candidate for Tarrant County Judge this past election, March 1st. Let me open their phone line. Good evening, and Adrian, Marvin Sutton, and Trevor, good evening.
Good evening, Carrie.
Good evening. Good evening, Carrie.
Good evening.
Hey, Carrie?
Yes.
Yeah, the counties you read, you may have said Arlington, Grand Prairie, those are the cities associated with the county that in Senate District 22. There are 10 counties that are associated with that Senate district.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you for clarifying that. Y'all heard what I said in terms of some of the things that have come up since the election that make many people wonder, should there have been a recount? Should there have been another election? Should there have been a whole bunch of things that went on? What are you all thoughts in terms of whether or not there should have been a halt on certifying the elections before everything was cleared up? Let's start with you, Trevor.
I say yeah, but from what I understand, that you have to, if you want a recount, you have to do it in writing. And I mean, if Rick Barnes says that, you know, they certified it, that means nobody did it in writing. Or honestly, let's just be honest about Rick Barnes. He'll say one thing, and the next thing you know, a whole bunch of other stuff comes out. And by the time that things happen, it's a mute point. So, he, you know, if anything, he's notorious for losing things, if that makes any sense, which is the history of him being in office. But as far as, like, we should have had a recount. They should have halted when the machine started chewing up ballots and spoiling ballots. You know, we should have had that done, because there's a lot that happens. You know, then you have to redo the ballot, or you have to have them rerun the ballot, or you have to recount the spoils so that way they know what happened to them, you know, but where do they go from there? And then you have to look at, you know, the curing of the ballots and things that happen. And from what I understand, somebody had recorded Rick Barnes being in, along with Tim Davis, which is the GOP attorney, and Aaron Harris were in the tally room, which I don't see why the hell our GOP head should have been anywhere near the tally room, especially when ballots are there and ballot machines are open. So, yeah, there's a lot of, like, suspect things that happened in between them.
Wow. Marvin Sutton, what are your thoughts?
Okay, Carrie. So, you know, you have 2 days after the canvassing period, and the canvassing, according to the state statute, is that the second Thursday after the election. So it's the second Thursday. So anybody that filed with the county chair, either party, it's canvassed by the county party's office. Anybody that filed with the state party, that canvass takes place on the second Sunday after the election date. So you still have a couple of days to actually go in and request a recount after the canvassing, which would actually put it on Saturday. There have been some discrepancies, but I don't think that there was enough discrepancies to really question the sincerity of the election process or integrity of the election. I've been through a recount, so I can tell you what the process and experience feels like and what it looks like, and we can talk about that a little bit later on. But from my understanding and from what things I've heard, I don't think there was enough evidence that would cause a lot of doubt in the election process.
Wow. Adrian, your thoughts?
Well, Carrie, I would like to take it from a perspective. When I think about the let's look at the parties. Now, when I think about the Republican Party, one thing about them, when they have the power and they have the numbers and they're in position, they push legislation, regardless if people like it or don't like it. They utilize while they have to hold the office or whatever it is, they push the legislation. They get stuff done. People don't like it, but oh well. So I said it to say this. Poor preparation makes for poor performance, which leads to, you know, poor possibilities. What I mean by that, think about how much time between this last election we just had, how much time has been there for preparation? What have they been doing to prepare? You know, preparation. I'm speaking in regards to the Democratic Party because they're the ones who came out with the statement that there were some issues. What have y'all been doing this entire time to prepare for this election? Not saying that there would not be any issues. We understand issues happen. But what have y'all been doing? Because the Republican Party has been on top of the earth since our former president left office. Once he left office, they put legislation in to change, you know, the voting things, this, that, or the other. So they've been... It's like they stay two or three steps ahead of the Democratic Party. With all the things you name, and then again, I like Mr. Sutton's his perspective kind of helps me to understand things a little better. But with all the things you name, I think there was maybe cause for something to be looked at, you know, because these elections are not something we don't take these elections lightly. These elections are important, you know, and if you want to keep people different, engaged and excited about this process, you have to give them something, show them that, hey, when we having issues or whatever, we're going to show y'all we're trying to make things right, not just, you know, kind of just let it just happen and just not say nothing about it, you know? It's just like, oh, this is, you know, this is typical. This stuff happens. We don't have control over it. So with all the things you named, I do think there was pause to possibly look at, yeah, to you know, see where the errors were and see what they could do to, you know, to make things right. Because we know everybody's not happy about the election. So I'm gonna say that part. We know everybody's not happy about the election. So
I agree. And see, everybody on the panel tonight has run for office. And so, you know, from a perspective of everyone, you know, on the panel being, except myself, being someone who's run for office before, you know, it's okay to me. And if I run a good race, my candidate runs a good race, and I lose fairly, then okay, then it is what it is. But if some candidates are feeling some kind of way that maybe things were not above board, I don't see any reason why it couldn't have been a pause. To just, you know, make certain that everything, you know, was cleared up, all misunderstandings, if that was the case, or all conspiracy theories, if that was the case, could be cleared up, and then everyone to feel comfortable about moving forward. Marvin Sutton, you know, you had a person who called you and said that they went to a certain location to vote during early voting, and you were not on the ballot there. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, that happened on the first day of early voting where an individual called me and said that they could not locate my name on the ballot, and they asked for assistance from the crew, and the crew made a statement that was questionable. It said that since I lived in Arlington, I would be on a countywide ballot, which is not true. We did have the election administrator intervene. The individual weren't quite happy with the conversation, but that's neither here nor there, but that did take place. Now, me personally, I don't think that would cause me to lose the election. That would be an issue. There are some recourses, Carrie, that a candidate can take One is a recount once they meet the requirements for the recount. The other is election contest, which is a lawsuit. Normally when you file a lawsuit on an election, you're not filing a lawsuit against the party itself or the election administrator. You're actually filing a lawsuit against your opponent. And that takes a different process and different turn altogether. But there are recourses for the individual who feel that there was a discrepancy that would have turned the election in favor of their opponent. So there are those options that are available without throwing out the whole entire election, I would say.
Well, let's be clear. Can you tell us what city that particular person went to vote at in?
That city was North Richland Hills.
So think about that, y'all. This person, Marvin, was running in Tarrant County. North Richland Hills is in Tarrant County, but some kind of way his name was not on the ballot. Were they able to satisfy the voter at all, or did she go ahead and vote with your name not being on the ballot, or what did she do?
No. So a lot of people are not familiar with the actual process. So when you go vote in Tarrant County, you have what's called voting centers. Just think of it as early voting locations where you can vote anywhere, and they also in place doing election day voting. So when you go to be processed, the judge, the election crew qualifies you as a voter. That means that you're an eligible registered voter in Tarrant County, and there's no issues with your eligibility. You're processed in the vote once you produce one of the seven approved form of IDs, and if you do not have one of those approved form of IDs, you sign an impediment declaration, which is basically an affidavit saying you could not reasonably attain one of those IDs, and then you fall back on other forms of IDs that was under the law previously. When you are qualified and processed, you're issued a four-digit code. That code unlocks a ballot that pertains to you, your precinct, and your district, and individuals you're qualified to vote for. So if you're in Tarrant County and you're a registered voter in Tarrant County, it would unlock all countywide candidates in your ballot. If you are in a particular precinct or district, it will only unlock the district that you're in. So that four-digit code only unlocks the ballot that you're allowed to vote on. In this particular case, it should unlock all the candidates that are running countywide in that particular primary.
And you should have been on that ballot.
Absolutely.
So back to, Trevor, what you said earlier about somebody being in the election room where the votes were when they should not have been there. Are those boxes sealed or are they not sealed?
They're supposed to be sealed, but, I mean, there's things that are coming out from somebody that was signed on to be a what do you call them, count room and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, to me, I don't think either GOP chair or Democratic GOP chair should not have been in there, especially when there's ballots, whether they're sealed or not sealed, boxes are there, whether the machines are wide open or not, because everything's live streamed now, you know, per the legislation. Right. But I want to go back to what Adrian was saying. Unfortunately, you know, our GOP's had 2 years to get things together, to get things straight, to make things run right, get our, mm-hmm. get our precinct chairs, to get them correct and get them ready and get people signed up and whatnot. But guess what? Nothing's happened in 2 years. Unfortunately, you know, our GOP head guy, he just don't care. He just doesn't give a crap. And it hurts the party. You know, all he's worried about is what he can look like, you know, in the circles and in the clubs. Otherwise, you don't see him. You don't hardly see him at any other, you know, events unless he's asked to be there. Or he has no choice, you know, particularly he'll see him at the EC meetings. You might see him here at certain uppity clubs. You know, I'm tired of the country club Republicans. I ain't going to lie to you. I'm sick of it. Personally, I've been sick of it. And so, I'm sorry. Unfortunately, Rick Barnes, you know, he just needs to go do something else other than run for office. The insurance game is probably better for him where he belongs. And I hate to say that, and I hate to say that I'm trashing it, but sometimes you got to call a spade a spade. But now, you know, I mean, for him to be in that room, especially with the GOP attorney and then a guy that has the consultant, and not a good consultant either. He's one of those nasty ones. You know, you hire when you really want to win dirty, which is
right.
Easy. What are you doing in that ballot room? There's no business in there. You should not be there. I mean, if there's not a legislation on there, we definitely need to start making sure that we do our resolution committees and our state delegate committees to get that kind of resolution passed where he cannot touch in their wild ballots, wild boxes during elections, period.
You know what? Something weird happened when I spoke with the Republican Party. First of all, when I reached out to both parties today, I got voicemails. And so both the Republican and the Democratic Party, I had to leave voicemails. And I was very clear, you know, this is Carrie Hines, and I'm calling, you know, with Let's Talk Fort Worth, and we're going to do a show tonight, and we basically wanted to know if the vote was certified. And so, and she asked me not to tell this, but I'm going to tell this because it's just really weird what you just said. And so I would love a message for someone named Dana, and I don't remember Dana's last name, but she's the Republican primary administrator.
That's Dana Talbridge.
Okay, her. And so she called me back. Now she called me back. She only had my number if she took the message, right? And so she called me back. And so I asked her, was the vote certified? Because I called the election commission early this afternoon and they had said it was not. And so to find out, you know, from another source, I thought I'd call both parties. And so when I spoke with Dana, I asked her, has the vote been certified? She said, absolutely. She's gone over there on Thursday afternoon, and it was certified. And then I began to ask her, had there been any candidates requesting a recount? And that's when she said, are you a member of the media? And I said, well, I guess you could say, yeah. And then she says, well, you cannot repeat anything I said in this conversation because you did not identify yourself as the media. And I said, but I left you a message, and the message clearly said who I was. And she said, but you didn't say that when you got on the phone. I said, but you returned the call based on my message. And so it got really, really weird, and she became very adamant about me not repeating anything she said, and if she wants to sue me, she can do that. There ain't nothing to get. But anyway, I just found it very odd that she was okay with the conversation up until the point where I asked, had any candidates been requesting a recount? And so then she told me that she was going to refer me to, let me get their names right, Ricky Barnes, who's the chair, the Republican chair, or Ricky Rodriguez. And she says, I suggest you ask any of those questions to them and do not repeat anything I said. And I said, what? You know, so I was taken back by that because the conversation was flowing just fine until I said the word recount. And so I don't know. I mean, just what you said, Trevor, just kind of made me wonder, did I stumble upon something? I don't know. But but when I got Mr. Barnes on the phone, he was just very, frank. Oh, you know, there was no problems. Every candidate was satisfied. And no one had asked for a recount, is what I was told. I don't know. Just really weird stuff.
It's just, you know, it's time for a change of leadership, but we don't need to put the same olds in there. And I'm going to go ahead and expose it right here on the show because I have already kind of with certain people. But for Rick Barnes to want to run for Commissioner Precinct 3, you can't even run the GOP, and you want to try to run Keller, Southlake, Grapevine, Colleyville? No, we're good, bro. And then you want to put Chris Putnam and Aaron Harris in that spot? And Aaron Harris being the executive director, oh, we really don't need that for the party because we're going to do the same thing over and over and over. So it's time for us to say, you know, we're not doing that. And so I don't know if anybody in Commissioner's Precinct 3 is going to run, but they need to definitely run against that guy because that's the last thing we need in there.
Y'all heard it.
So it's time. I mean, I don't mind exposing, especially when I see, you know, when I know when there's bullcrap, but I've been knowing for a whole year that there's been bullcrap. And so now it's time for exposing. Yeah, I've got a lot of hate on my page for exposing. Like, what are you doing this for? Because y'all sorry selves won't do it. Y'all won't hold nobody accountable. I'll do it. I don't care. I'm a Republican, but at the same time, you know, call a spade a spade.
I saw some people come at you on your page and basically said, you know, why are you doing this? You lost the election. It was by a decent margin. So, you know, why are you making these comments? And so how did you respond to those type of
I told them, I said, look at it this way. A person that didn't run, a person that didn't even get out there, a person that didn't even attend any forum, any debate. I mean, I know I lost. I came to terms with that. That was okay. I understood that. I knew going in there it was an uphill battle. See, that's what they don't get. They're mad because I'm taking their plausible deniability away. They can't say, well, we didn't know that or we wouldn't have voted for him. Yeah, you did. You knew all along. Now I'm going to put it out there. And they're worried about, oh, the Democrats are getting a hold of it. And I hate to tell them this, but I've had two Democrats call me throughout this whole elections that I'm cool with, that we don't share any information. But they already knew about that. Everything I put out there, they were already ahead of it. So it's nothing new.
So for anybody who thinks that, you know, Trevor Booker's just a sore loser, you don't, I mean, how would you address that?
I would say, well, I mean, if you think I'm a sore loser, then I hate to see what a mean winner looks like. I hate to see what a cheater looks like. Would you praise a cheater? Obviously so.
Mm.
You know, I mean, there's no way in hell that that we have some a lady talking about Krista Collins get more votes than me for not even getting out there, which that's kind of a statistical anomaly. That's kind of a little crazy right there. That's what you call buying votes. And Aaron Harris made the mistake of saying in a post, he said, I'm voting for Krista Collins. Okay, well, you're a consultant, so how many people do you say, hey, we need you, this many people, to vote for Krista Collins, to pull the votes away from Betsy Price, and also to kind of prove a point to the underdogs that we run it. And that's why I started exposing more of Ownby. These consultants need to start being exposed. You either consult for one side or the other. You don't need to be switching up. And that's what he does.
Well, do y'all really believe, though, that some people were put in the race just to split the vote?
Happens a lot. A lot.
Marvin, on the Democratic side, do you believe people were put in the race just to split the vote?
That's right, just so they can keep their candidate in there, so they can keep their control.
Carrie, I don't know if the Democratic Party has done that, but I do know that does happen in elections, and Trevor is right, that do happen. In some races, they put in a third-party candidate to siphon off the votes to ensure the win, or create a runoff where you have candidates that will, from the one of the third-party candidates, support the finalists, one of the two finalists. So that does occur in some elections. I can't think of name a particular candidacy that it occurred in the Democratic Party.
Wow. Adrian, in your race, when you ran, there were a whole bunch of people in that race just really split up the vote, didn't it?
Yeah, pretty much, because, you know, of course, you know, people, you consider the voters that's going to go with the individual they know right offhand. But then you also have just basically like Mr. Mr. What's your name again, my friend? Mr. Booker. Like Mr. Booker said, what separates a lot of the candidates is getting out to these various, you know, getting out campaigning or getting on these various platforms, you know, making yourself known and heard, you know. So I made it a point to try to be a part of many of these platforms I could that invited us on for, you know, questionnaires, this, that, or the other. And grateful for yours, because yours is, I see yours, it outshines all of them, you know. And then I think with their political process, I learned who to deal with and who not to deal with, you know what I'm saying? You know, you learn what media outlets are really biased or kind of just going through the motions with people, but they already got the fix in for who they want. So I know the next time around, I know what to do and what not to do. I also say this, we know power corrupts and money buys silence. So I won't be surprised by, Ms. Booker saying, I won't be surprised by any of this. I think a lot of these people in these positions that's been in these positions for a long time, they just fixated on the power, the money they're making, and they don't see no need. They forget about everything else that's going on around them, or they'll take care of the people that's directly under them. You know, the people that's, it seems like the people that benefit the most are the ones who are always directly related to that person in that position of power. And the voters have to be to a point where they're not just attaching their emotions and their thought process to everything people putting out. You gotta show me something other than just stuff you just put out to cause divisions, you know? And I would say this, Ms. Sutton. Ms. Sutton said something I was impressed by Mr. Sutton, because all the times he said he had ran for office and it finally came to pass when he served in Arlington. You know, I just knowing about him in the short amount of time I've had, that I was inspired by that. You know, but I want to say to Mr. Sutton, he said something regarding that you know, you asked him about his name been on the ballot. He said, well, Mr. Sutton, I might have quoted you wrong. You're on live right now. You stated that, well, it probably would have made a difference, you know, one way or the other. But I'm going to just say this. Hey, your name on being on the ballot is very important, because it could have been 100,000 people that came through there that day for an early election and thought about you and only you, but your name not being on that ballot. You know what I'm saying? So I think one ballot is just like one vote is like a million votes to me. So always remember, you put the time in, you believed in the process, and you know it didn't pan out like you wanted it to. But if somebody believes in you and they want to see you go forth and win, then yes, your name being on that ballot is very important. Your name being on that ballot is very important.
And Adrian, to your point, you're absolutely right. One vote does matter in most cases. In this case, the vote was secured at another polling location where a name did appear. But because there's no reports of widespread that this occurred at several different locations, mm-hmm. it would be difficult for me as an individual to cast a huge doubt on an election. This young lady did find the discrepancies. She had an opportunity to vote. Her vote was counted. And so I'm okay with that, as long as we cured and we make that voter whole at that point. But to go back and say it could have happened at these locations, could have, I think it would do a disservice to our democracy to cast doubt on an election unless there were seriously rampant, widespread discrepancies throughout the system. And then at that point, I would be comfortable in saying, let's redo the election.
Well, Marvin, let's say this. It said that you only won three precincts. So that means out of the three you won three, but how many others were there total? What was the total?
There were
over
400 precincts. So yeah. So out of 400, which again is anomaly, like Kirby was talking about anomalies, but you can't base facts on an anomaly or unless you have factual data that says, hey, this occurred. So the democracy we have, I hold precious and dear to myself. And as an election judge for over 20 years, I swore to guard the purity of that election. So if I look at, and you always have that margin of error in anything we do. There's a margin of error. But to let that margin of error trumps the entire will of our democracy would be a disservice to what we call our great country, the Republic. It would put it in jeopardy. And I think we don't want to do that. We don't want to have people guessing that our election is not a true result in the will of the people. I think it does more of a disservice than a good to our community, to our city, to our counties. And it's the only way we can peacefully transfer power through our elections. And yes, some elections are going to have discrepancies. And you won't find any process without some glitches. And we always try to improve that process, and that's important. But to make sure that as a whole, we keep that democracy intact, and that's where I stand. Now, trust me, if there's a problem in the election system, you'll be the first to hear me say, hey, this election needs to be thrown out. I hadn't seen that yet where I'm comfortable doing that, you know?
Well, let me say this, Marvin. After looking at your numbers, I was surprised that they said you lost your own precinct, which that didn't make sense.
That's a fact. And I will tell you, people that say you ask them to vote for you, you don't know why people do things they do. And I could go and say, this is not right. I should have won my precinct. But at the end of the day, I have to respect the process. And if people come to me and say, Marvin, I voted for you and it didn't show, or 100% of the people in my precinct said they voted for me and it didn't show, that's one thing. But I had nobody come to me.
Okay.
And so I've got to accept the outcome, just like Trevor said. We all accept the outcome. We understand, are there problems in the election that we could improve on? Yes. You always have a process where you improve. how we do things. And so I'm looking to improve the process moving forward.
I'll be real brief. I'm gonna say this. I don't believe none of us on this line is the crying. That we are sore losers, this, that, or the other, whatever. But my thing is this: it's too much money and time that goes into these things. The political process has been going on for decades and centuries and years, or however you want to say it. And I think this. It is, the system is broken. The system is broken. It might not be just hit in your face broken, but it's broken. We know there's things that go on behind closed doors that we don't see or know or hear about. But thank God for the people willing to be, like I say, you can call them whistleblowers or people who just got eyes and ears who are willing to divulge that information. And we not going to say who they are, this, that, or the other, but I think that the political process, yes, we trust in, we want to believe in, we don't want to discourage nobody from it. But at the end of the day, you got to call things what they are, you know. Hopefully, though, going forward, as we prepare ourselves for this next election, you know what I'm saying, we can see a brighter light. Hopefully they are fixing whatever issues they had, because, you know, down in Harris County, they had the 10,000 that just didn't happen to make it to – it's their destination. So we're talking about 10,000 ballots. So something is wrong somewhere, you know. And that chairperson is stepping down, you know, from her position. Of course, we know probably they told her to go ahead and step down so it won't look so bad, blah, blah, blah. We know how that works. But, I mean –
Excellent point. So y'all, I hope I'm like Martha when I grow up. I got a long ways to go. I'm just not there yet. And one thing that sticks out to me, and I profess to be a person who has a keen sense of discernment. In speaking to Mr. Barnes this afternoon, one thing that stuck out to me is when I asked him about had anyone requested a recount. He said, you know, no, but then he said, very quickly behind that, you can only request a recount if you're within a certain margin of loss. And I may not be wording it right, but that's the gist of the way he said it. Okay, that said, it seems like these races, this is just me talking, y'all. I ain't talking for nobody else. But it seems like these races that is really questionable of whether or not this person really lost or not, the margin seems to be too far out to be realistic. You know, you saw the people put the work in, you know, they knocked on doors, they put out flyers, you know, they were doing all the right things, but some kind of way they lost by just far enough of the margin that it makes it almost look ridiculous for them to contest. So when he said that, the light bulb went off that, could that be it? I don't know, y'all. I'm just saying. Listen, if you just tuned in, you're listening to Let's Talk Fort Worth. I'm Gary Hines, your host. Tonight we're talking about should the March 1st, 2022 election have been certified. There's been so many questions about shortages of election judges, some of the election judges being hired at the last minute but not adequately trained, the shortages of poll workers, voters turned away because there was a lack of Democratic poll workers, candidates' names not being on ballot in precincts where they should have been, candidates who submitted signatures that are questionable to get on the ballot. There were 250 signatures required or in order to make that ballot. And candidates who had campaign literature inside polling places on election day. And last but not least, the machines that malfunctioned. If you got a question or a comment tonight, get on the phone line. The phone number to call is 515-605-9321. Again, the number to call is 515-605-9321 and then press 1. All right, y'all, listen. Back to the machines malfunctioning. You know, do we know how
many? Can I comment on the machines malfunctioning?
Yeah, tell us about the machines malfunctioning.
Okay, this is where I have, like, it's not just myself. It's been quite a few of us that's talked about it. I mean, okay. Democrat and Republicans, you know, that we both kind of talked, even at the polling stations. I had some people that were election judges and some of our poll workers. They said, you know what, we're done with the machines. We need to get rid of them. And right now, even on, I mean, I don't know, maybe Marvin hasn't heard this, but even the Republicans and Democrats both are like, we have to get rid of machines and Hyder has to go. There will be no rest with our elections until Hyder is gone. Until he is completely gone, we will be not, there will be no unrest. And so both sides have agreed for that. And the thing is, we need to come together and say, okay, Judge Whitley, it's time. You know, we're past time. He's got to go. And if you don't want him to go, we'll just keep coming back. We're going to keep hitting you in the jaw because we really have to get him gone before either Tim or Deborah takes, because both of them are two of the votes that got Hyder here. And I don't foresee Deborah wanting to get rid of him. I mean, because I don't know if it's important to her or not. I'm not trying to knock her, but Tim straight up already said in the video he ain't going to do it. So we have to get rid of these machines so we can have some rest, get back to, you know, handwritten ballots. We had very minimal problems with that.
Wow. Marvin, Adrian, y'all have any comments on the machines malfunctioning before we go to the phone line?
Carrie, so let's educate the audience real quick on the election administrator position itself. So there's a commission called the Election Tarrant County Election Commission. That commission consists of five individuals. It consists of both party chairs, Democrat and Republican. It consists of the county judge, it's Glenn Whitley, the tax assessor collector, as well as the county clerks. They make the decision who that individual is in hiring process. And then it goes to the county commissioner's court, basically to ratify it, so to speak. Now, there are three statutory meetings that are required to be held by each party officials, and that includes the county executive committee. The county executive committee consists of the county chairs and the precinct chairs. They conduct a meeting that takes a vote on the voting machines, the polling places, and anything that goes on during the primary election. The primary election, the audience has to understand, is conducted by the parties, not by the county, but the parties. The county primaries are funded by the state through the Secretary of State, provides the funding to conduct the election itself. So with that being said, you're going to have problems with any electronic device that you have. I've been an air traffic controller for over 30 years. Yes, we have problems with air traffic control systems, but we have redundancy and backup systems. So you won't find a perfect system is what I'm saying. So we always figure out that margin of error into the system. We try to improve and make the system better. Now, I've worked with Hyder. I like Hyder. I mean, that's just my personal opinion of the administrative. I've done a lot of talked to him a lot on some issues and concerns I've had in the election process, and he looked and says, hey, let's see what we can do to improve it. You may have had a different experience, and I'm not knocking that at all. Everybody's entitled to their own opinion. With the machines itself, I've been where we had the basic paper scanners, and now we got a paper trail. There was concerns about doing the electronic vote and not having a paper trail. So I kind of like machines. I haven't heard a lot of issues other than my name did not appear on one. But I like having the paper trail. So when you want to go back and correlate the ballot numbers with the names on the paper trail, that's a good thing, I think, for us. But I don't think you'll find a perfect election voting system without having some glitches in it.
Adrian?
I'm a digress. I'm just taking in what I'm hearing regarding it.
I do want to say something on the ballots. The ballots are not numbered like they're supposed to be per law. And that's another one of the issues that we're having. We've got people diving deep into all this. And for them not to be, there's no way to track these ballots because we want them to be, you know, we want recounts. We really do. But they're like, well, we can't open the seal without the Secretary of State or a district judge, federal district judge, has to say, okay, so they're not numbered. We came across many, many, many of elections where they're not numbered, and we called Hyder to the court on that, and he just flat out said, yeah, they're numbered. No, they're not, and he doesn't want to do it. He wants to play by his own rules. He doesn't want to follow the Secretary of State. Like, we really literally had to send somebody in there to tell him, hey, look, you either call the Secretary of State, or I'm going to call him right here while you're here. right here on the spot, and you're going to have to explain to them why you refuse to call them, why you're not numbering the ballots. But unfortunately, we have John B. Scott, which is an Abbott appointee, which is a globalist, so we're not going to get anywhere with him because he's going to do exactly what Abbott wants him to do, which is absolutely nothing. So that's why we have to do it for ourselves. So it's better if we do just go back to paper ballots. We had no issues. I mean, the machines are just messing up, and Hyder's a software engineer, and inside the heart, the software is where the problems are. And to get a affidavit or a sworn affidavit to open that up is going to take an act of God. Because right now they have remote capabilities. And the remote act says anybody can hack into it. Heck, I can do a dim screen on it where I can screen share and see what you're doing. You'll never know it.
Oh, y'all didn't heard it right here. Let's talk what works.
Carrie?
Yes.
Carrie? So the mail-in ballots do have a serial number on them. The mail-in ballots do. The scan ballots, because there's no printed information on them, probably won't have that information on it. You won't be able to tie an individual to a particular ballot. So I do understand Trevor's concern. And so I don't know if, because the fact that the paper that you're using, the only requirement is for that ballot to be valid, it has to have the signature of the judge stamped somewhere on that ballot for it to be a ballot. But the ballots that have the pre-printed information of the races in office does have a serial number on them.
All right, y'all,
those
we're going to the phone lines. We're going to the phone lines again. If you have a question or a comment tonight, the phone number to call is 515-605-9321. Then press 1 once you're connected. We're going to 817-446. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk What Works. 817-446.
Is that me, Carrie?
That would be you.
That would be me. I mean, okay, hey, great. Great going. I enjoy hearing you guys. This is Bob from the local voter education program. Tuning in here and getting some education so I know what to talk about on my next show. So, anyway, I got four things I came across here real quick, not taking much time. Talking about the Republican Party, they need to – what I'm getting sick of, I get these calls for donations, and they start off talking about Nancy Pelosi or Joe Biden or any of them, okay? And I wish it wasn't a recorded machine. I want to talk to these people straight on. I don't want to talk to the machine, but I just like to give them a peace of mind saying, don't call me about none of that. You got a Republican mayor right here that just took away our First Amendment. We can't speak. And when a Republican mayor does that, and you're telling me about Joe Biden now, this is on a clean up our own party first, okay? So don't even ask me about money. You know, anybody takes our right away to speak. I mean, at this point, I almost wish Deborah Peoples was in there instead of her. Anybody took my right away to speak, that has really set me wrong, 100%. But anyway, that on the party stuff, like Trevor was saying, we need to clean up our own act here somewhat and get these people out of there and change this thing around. Another thing, which I will be calling the chair and trying to learn more about our precinct and see if they want to come on and give me some information. Marvin mentioned something about people didn't call you when you lost your, I think you said your own precinct area or whatever, and you didn't get calls from people. Well, maybe they didn't. Maybe you did get them, the votes, but they don't know to call you. And what I'm going to do in this next election coming up, which I got to thank Marvin for coming along. I mean, he doesn't know how much help he's been to me by coming along, but when he said before he came on the show, I said he ran five times before he got it. And this is my fifth time running. I said, oh, great. That was encouraging. That came out of nowhere. That was great. But another thing he gave me, though, listening to him being an air trapper, he just gave me something that was bad, too, when I was flying. I never had to think about those guys controlling the panel up there. I was more worried about the plane. But now when I'm on, I'm going to think about who's controlling us, too. Are we going to run into each other? So, great. You gave me something else to worry about there now. But anyway, I'm sure you're doing a good job there. But what was the last thing here? Was there anything else? I think mainly that was the few I wanted to touch over there. But, okay, I thought I had something more important there to talk about. But anyway, I just want to touch on a couple of things. My point on what y'all were talking about.
I know what the last thing was. Go ahead and plug your show for Sunday night.
Oh, yeah. There it is. I wrote, you know what? Thank you, Carrie. I don't know if I could do it without some help here. Here's my thing, and our Fort Worth Weekly, and this goes with everything else, too, talking about elections and stuff, because, see, I was rejected from the ballot, and I met all the requirements here in 17. I met all the requirements, and I was kicked off the ballot. So, I mean, you know, there's some crooked stuff going on. And like I said, oh, that was one point I want to make too. When I run in this next time, I'm putting signs up saying to send me an email for a fair election if you voted for me. So even if people don't do it, the ones that might be doing something crooked might think twice too, because they don't know if people will or not. So it might even kind of deter them from doing it, maybe. But that's what I'm going to put out, a lot of signs for a send me an email so we can get our own count. But the next show coming up with our police oversight monitor, she's great, really great. All the issues I have mostly with the city, not her. But anyway, she'll be on. We can talk about that. And I think they're doing some meetings later on too. I think, Carrie, did you send me something about some meetings with them? I try to find it on Facebook.
I haven't, I will. But if you would
I'm sorry.
You
know what? Never mind. Change that. But the Fort Worth police chief who I called today, Chief Nils, and I left him a message because he don't answer or return his call. And I told him he's going to be April 1st main poster child here on the April 1st paper. And that's Chief Neil. And what I want is when I found out that the how the social – should I stop here or are you trying to get in here? Go ahead.
Yeah, you just plug your show for Sunday night and we got to move on.
Okay, go ahead. Move on then. That's okay. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to keep going. That was
okay,
something I just wanted to say about him.
Go ahead. Sunday night right here on Blog Talk Radio, local voter education from 8 to 9 p.m. Thanks for calling
in
tonight,
Carrie.
Bob.
Thank you very much. Carrie. Have a good night.
Carrie. Okay, we're going to 314.
Hey, Carrie, can I read something off, Carrie?
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay, per Texas Election Code 52.062 and 62.009, our ballots are to be prepared by numbered consecutively beginning with the number 1. They are then to be disarranged number side down for the voter selection. These codes are passed by the Texas legislation in order to preserve privacy of the voter by allowing only one voter to know their ballot number, which is necessary in case of an audit is called for. In the case of the voter wishes to summon their ballot for examination, the ballot number must be known to the voter.
Whoa. So sum that up for us.
So in other words, the Texas election code is very, very black and white when it comes to that. It's supposed to be numbered 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, on down to however many. And that's not being done. And that's what we're saying. Like when we want to audit, we can say, okay, I know I was number 1. I was in this precinct. That's why we need to bring back precinct voting. You know, because really precinct voting was great not just for the voting, but for the neighborhoods and for the precincts, because, you know, back then when we had that, you had more people in the neighborhoods that knew each other. Like, you go, oh, man, hey, it's good to see you voting again. I'm glad to see you around. Or, hey, I haven't seen so-and-so in a while because, you know, I haven't seen him around and I haven't seen him this election cycle, and you might find out that somebody might have passed away or they might be in the hospital. I mean, it brought neighbors closer. But
gotcha.
Going back to the number thing is we're not doing the number thing.
Hey,
gotcha.
Carrie?
Yeah.
Carrie, it's Marvin. So
yes.
Trevor is right. He's talking about the paper ballots. But in Tarrant County, we use the electronic voting device.
Mm-hmm.
And so the paper ballot goes out to ballot by mail applicants. We're using an electronic voting device that recorded the vote. And that's how we used to do it before we have the new device that actually has a paper trail to reconcile the votes. So when you're doing electronic correlation with the ballot itself, it's part of the electronic balloting system. And that may be the difference in what he's saying. If we were using paper ballots, which we used to, Trevor, back in the day, a few years back, we used to use a paper ballot in election day voting, and we used to use the electronic voting machines in early voting. Well, now it's electronic throughout except for the paper ballot is actually sent out in the mail to voters who meet the requirement of ballot by mail.
All right, we're going to the phone line, 314-381. Good evening, let's talk for one.
Hello, Karis Bianchi.
Good evening, Bianchi.
I see the issue of ballots and machines keep popping up.
Never ended.
But, you know, here's the thing. I think that Congress... The Constitution, Article 1, Clause 4, Section 4, gives the Congress the ability to change the federal ballot. Federal ballot should be separate from state and local. Person walking to a polling place, they could turn left or right and go to the machines. That's for the federal candidates, president, vice president, congressperson, and U.S. senator. They should have their own vetting, and they should have their means of keeping track. Those ballots should not leave to be counted at the end of the day. They should be counted right there. They should have three people that sign off on the tally, and that's it. This stuff of taking boxes of ballot across town in somebody's basement and garage needs to stop. And trying to make all states fall in line, that's totally not going to happen. Let states do what they want to. Locals do what they want to. Look in New York, letting illegals vote, local and state. If that's what they want to do, leave them alone. But in order to have a free and transparent federal election with federal ballots, have them separate from state and local, no electronic machines, and the vetting system is imposed by them, and the tally is right there with bonded people who have no stake in the game.
Thank you, Deanna King. Thank you for that call tonight. Now, that's the best answer I've heard tonight. That absolutely is. That those ballots should never leave the location where they were cast at. That vote should be counted then, certified by three people signing off on it, saying that's what they saw, that were not a part of, you know, hired by the Democratic Party or hired by the Republican Party. That absolutely makes sense. That absolutely makes sense.
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with this is, Marvin, the problem with that I see is, first of all, having the adequate number of election officials. As you're aware, we had that problem in this election cycle. The number two is having a certain group count and not having a secondary count just to verify the first count. That makes sense. So we're counting at one polling location 5,000 ballots. What's to say that someone did miscount? Are we going to take that? Are we going to have another counting that verify their count? You see what I'm saying? And we've had that happen.
You got three people standing there doing the count. And so as I'm counting, you're watching. The next person is watching. And all three of us are verifying that, you know, you can even number the things that, I mean, whatever you want to do. But you got three people standing there saying that they're certifying that count right there that night in that building without those ballots leaving that location. Whereas I have a real big problem with an election judge taking a box of ballots in his car to a location. I'd rather them take it and put it in an armored truck. And the armored truck take it to the election commission. But to tell me that, you know, somebody put it in the trunk of their car and they may or may not have gone directly to the location to drop them off, that's just a little bit, leaves too much room for error.
Now, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Trevor.
This is Adrian. I was saying, I say this, anything is possible. With good food, you know, with good food and you're gonna pay people to do it, so you're paying people to do it. You provide adequate food, good food, you know what I'm saying, and find some people who want to do it. I think it can get done, because my question is this: so if we don't do it that way, if we don't count if those ballots are not counted at their particular location, so y'all telling me all the ballots from this previous election, that's excluding the early vote, we know that was already done, but from the general election, all the ballots that were tallied, you mean to tell me they left that precinct and went to one location and then they went through the process of counting them? Is that how it worked out? Is that how the process worked? And then y'all also remember they also made noise that they needed a police escort. You know, they had the issues or whatever. They had to get a police escort after. It was in the wee hours of the morning, block quote unquote, so they can make sure the ballots get to where they were going, this, that, or the other. So I think you can get it done faster if you do it that way, because you got to think about this. You got to think about this. A lot of those precincts don't have a lot of people turning out. So every precinct count is going to be different as far as how long it takes to get those ballots counted, because every precinct, some precincts just have more people coming out. Some precincts just have just a small fraction of people coming out, and they say, hey, we're good, we certified. We already got our count, now we got to wait on the other one, and so on and so forth. So,
excellent, excellent idea, Bianchi. And Marvin, you were saying?
So my point is, you've got three people counting ballots, right? and you're cross-checking. Then you've got a machine that actually counts the ballots. The machine's going to show to be more accurate than people counting, because I will tell you, we've had crews that you're not supposed to count the ballots. The ballots are sealed in a box with a serial number on it. That serial number is recorded on a form. That form is signed by second poll worker to verify that serial number on that box matches. That seal stays intact, and there's a chain of custody that follows those ballots. Yes, the election judge. See, here's the thing. The election judge is not an ordinary individual at some point. Once that election judge takes oath, he encounters special powers, I would say. He can appoint a peace officer. He has the same authority as a district court judge to run that polling place. He can ask for an escort to escort them ballots to a drop-off point that's designated. What I will be critical of is the few hours of training the judge received. I don't think it's adequate to run a polling place. And so I would be more comfortable with an electronic count, because sometimes the ballots do stick together. And I will tell you, you will have judges, and we have a lot of judges that are up in age, not saying that they can't count. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying mistakes do happen with a count. You and I could count, and then we can start counting again and get a different count. That happens on occasion. So I don't have a problem with the armored carriage escorting the ballots in. I don't have a problem with that at all. But I do want to make sure that we don't inject personal biases into the count itself, that when you have a machine, it takes out some of those biases. So I would be more comfortable with an electronic counting system, per se.
I'll say this, that if you got three people standing there counting, as Pianki said, you're not going to be all 3,000. You're not going to be all 5,000. You're not going to be all 10,000. You know, maybe one or two, maybe 10. But I don't think if you got three people standing there counting that the counts are going to be too far out. I'd be more comfortable with, you know, being off by 10 than being off by 2,000.
So, Carrie, Marvin, again, I wouldn't be comfortable being off by 10 because I lost an election by 2 votes.
Right,
so I wouldn't be comfortable with the 10.
Right. I understand. You know, it's just so much going on with this. You know, we saw them talking about a shortage of election judges. My boards keep moving. Okay, let me go back to Pianki one more time. Okay, yes, sir, Mr. Pianki.
Look, you got a person at the machine who's bonded and don't live in the county, a district where one of the congressmen is on the ballot. You got three people sitting in a line. When the person gets through voting, they hand it to the person at the machine. They walk it over and hand it to the first person in line. He tally. The next person, they tally. And the third person, they tally. After about an hour, hour and a half of voting, all three of them compare their numbers. If anyone is off, you got the ballots right there. Let's check and see where the problem exists. Until all three of those talliers have the same number, then it's cool. Now, at the end of the day, after the counts are all columnized and added up, all three sign off on it, plus the person who's in charge of the operation, the fourth person. You got four signatures. Four signatures that have witnessed and counted and say they all are the same in the count. And that's the way it should be. I mean, how simpler can you get? Then they fax off the information, call it in, or whatever they need to do. You don't have to have no Brinks truck if you don't, unless you just like to go for the ride. But the Constitution gives Congress the ability to do that. States can do whatever they want to according to the Constitution. But Constitution gives Congress the ability to have a separate federal ballot.
Thank you, Pianki, for clearing that up. And that makes even more sense. Thank you so much. Y'all, you make a lot of sense. You can't. I mean, I don't know. We'll move on and we'll leave it like that. But he made a lot of sense. Let's just talk about the vote for a second. Let's just talk about the Tarrant County, the Tarrant County judges race. Trevor, I think your vote came in at 3,296. Betsy Price came in at 43,651. Tim O'Hare came in at like 72,402. So those were all the Republican candidates. Well, not all of them, but just the three I'm going to mention. And then the Democratic numbers came in. Marvin, you came in at 12,464, and your opponent came in at 59,383. That said, in looking at these races, you're looking at, or looking at this race rather, you're looking at Marvin. I heard a lot about your race and the fact that you were on the ground knocking on doors. You were doing debates. You were basically, you know, going to churches, talking to people. In looking at it, it looked like you did all the right things. So were you at all surprised at the number when they came in?
Yes, I was surprised at the numbers. Now, you're looking at a huge population of voters in Tarrant County, and you're not going to hit every or touch every voter. Obviously, you do the best you can. But, yeah, I would say I was surprised at the numbers, the difference in the race itself. I thought it would be a little bit more competitive race. I knew just not being known in the Fort Worth area or metro area that it would be a problem just to try to get in those particular groups and circles to get my name circulated around. And I knew that would be a challenge. And even in my area here, that surprised me in the Arlington area. That really surprised me because I'm well known in Arlington area. So that surprised me as well. But no, I was surprised by the outcome.
Mm-hmm. Because I think
Marvin, mm-hmm. Go ahead. Quick question. Marvin, didn't you serve as the Democratic did you have some type of leadership role with the Democratic Party at one point in time?
Yeah, so I served at the State Democratic Executive Committee, which basically represents, is equivalent to a state senate, the district that a state senate would represent. There are 31 senatorial districts in Texas. I represent Senatorial District 22. I served as a precinct chair and an election judge. So, but, I mean, there are different cliques in the Fort Worth area and in getting the people to know who Marvin Sutton is. It's different because people more are apt to distrust new faces coming into the community. So it's like a new face, a stranger coming in the community, trying to build a dialogue and build that relationship. So, yeah, that was difficult as well.
Well, Mr. Sutton, yourself and Mr. – I'm sorry, Carrie, I'll just be a minute. Yourself and Ms. Peoples, you both were on some of the same platforms giving your reasons for why you wanted this position. So you did the – You went out and did the groundwork. You know, there's nothing heard on Ms. Peoples' part of her going out doing the groundwork. You know, I haven't heard of anything. I didn't see other than the signs. You did the groundwork. You said you did groundwork. You both were on some of the same platforms speaking, you know, giving, you know, debates or whatever. So my thing is this, is it possible? Because I always felt like this, and I stood on it. I stood on it. I felt like you and Ms. Peoples, you're not running anymore. So you can say it, you can acknowledge it on or not. Did y'all have some kind of issue in the past where not issue? Was there some type of disagreement in the past according to a vote or voting, or you questioning her on something? And could that possibly, you know, when you put your name in for the ballot, was she already in the race? When you put your name in for running, did you get word that she was going to run as well? Or when did you find out she was going to run?
Well, I filed first. There was some conversation back in January with the current county chair of the Democratic Party that I was going to run. There was nobody on the radar that would even consider running at that time, and that was June 11th. So they had just finished up the runoff from city of mayor for Fort Worth.
Wow.
So, yeah, I was coming out already. And then there were concerns that she may run, but you don't base your campaign on who's going to run. If you're have a conviction to run, you're going to run based on your commitment to serve, and that's what I did. So it's not because I'm waiting for somebody to dictate what I do. I'm going to go ahead and start the path forward, and that's what I did.
Well, you did. You're right. You were the first one. I'm gonna pause on this. You said the Democratic chair was made aware of this, right? You said the Democratic chair was made. You said the Democratic chiller made aware of it. So my thing is this. The Democratic chiller was aware of it. Nobody, it was no word of who possibly was going to run. They had already known. Man, look her. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. Old girl split the vote. She knew what she was doing. She shouldn't have been in it. That's just my, I've been saying it, and I'm still saying it. She shouldn't have been in it. She got in it for her own selfish reasons or means. I think you should have been the candidate. I truly do believe that. And I do think the Democrats should probably kept off, let her know, hey, we got somebody running. So you might as well, you might be the stronger candidate, though. So, and I pause on that.
Well, thank you so much for that.
I want to jump in on that one. Same thing as Marvin. Marvin should have been that one. She had no, I mean, really, there was no reason for her to jump in. You know, at some point in time, you know, we got to pass the torch. You know, and Marvin should have been the one. You know, because he like me. At the same, you know, we both put our names in first. You know, and then like, you know, when they see that happening, like, oh no, we can't have that. But I agree. It's like at some point in time, the chairs, whether it be Democratic or Republican chair, guess what? Guess what should happen? They should be like, hey, you know what? We got somebody running. Let's get behind them. You know, it shouldn't be like, oh, my homeboy's going to run. Let's do this. That's not how this works, you know? So I agree. I think Marvin should have been the guy that was on there. You know, and I do think she did it for selfish reasons. And that's messed up. Thank you. I just don't understand, you know, like what just, you know, at what one point in time did the Democratic chair and Republican chair say, no, we ain't doing business like this no more. But that's the issue we have. So I agree. I think Marvin should have been on it because Marvin was on the ground. I didn't see not one different people unless she was unless she was there with you at a forum or debate. Otherwise, she was getting in trouble for doing stuff at a school under their candidacy and not just doing it because she cares about the kids.
Oh, Lord, John.
Thank you. Thank you so much. But one more quick comment, Carrie. So there was some concerns that I had when Deborah People first decided she wanted to run for the Democratic Party county chair, and we were filling a vacancy at the time, and there's a process to fill the vacancy. There was at least three individuals running, competing for that position. I had not heard of Deborah People. Deborah People had not attended a county executive meeting, and so I could not support her. There was another individual who happened to be a Caucasian male that I supported, and it's public record that I supported that individual in a meeting. And so that may be the point where you're talking about, Adrian, that we had a difference of opinion there. I didn't think that she should have been the chair, but that's neither here nor there. I was outvoted, and I respect the process, and we move forward with it. I think that our democracy allows anybody who's qualified to run for public office. I would never talk anyone out of running for public office. I will respect and accept the results of the election, and we move our democracy forward and unite our country, our county, or our city.
Wow. Listen, if you just tune in, you're listening to Let's Talk Fort Worth. I'm Gary Hines, your host. Tonight we're talking about should the March 1st, 2022 elections have been certified. There has been a number of things that have come up since the election. Question marks in a lot of people's minds as to whether or not this election went down fairly. There was a shortage of election judges. There was election judges hired at the last minute but not adequately trained, shortage of poll workers, voters being turned away because of the lack of Democratic poll workers, candidates' names not being on ballots in precincts where they should have been, candidates who submitted signatures, and the signatures are questionable as these signatures were used to put them on the ballot. But some question if all of the signatures were gotten properly. I'll say it like that. And candidates who had literature inside of polling places, as well as the machines malfunctioning, were all reasons why a lot of people felt like a recount should have taken place, or at least there should have been a pause on the certification of this particular election. So, y'all, that's just what it is. You know, another thing that went down, we're talking about, is the election judge shortage. How does that happen? How do we have election judge shortages knowing that we're going into an election? And why would we hire election judges at the last minute but not have them adequately trained for such an important election? How does that happen? anybody.
Can I comment on this one? I'll say this from the Republican standpoint is, first let's go back to the, you said the literature inside the, where the like having them at the polling locations. Mm-hmm. I don't see a issue with having literature there. Now, what I do have an issue with, if your literature has like a Greens card on it, you know, like here's all the recommendations. I think you should go out for you and you only. You know, you shouldn't be, well, let's go out here with the green card. See, the green, I feel like the green card, which I know it's been going on for a long time, and also the link letter, which just started happening, I think that is election interference. You know, I think we should start, you know, saying, hey, you can't pass it out. And I'm to the point where we just need to get away from that in general, because, you know, there is a PAC that people donate into, that candidates donate into, so they can get on the green card. It's not like, well, let me interview you and let's see, you know, if you're the best candidate. No, if you don't donate into it, boom, you're not going to get on that green card. And the link letter called people between 11 and 12 at night. And I even seen somebody pay $9,000 to be on the link letter, which goes to 100,000 homes. How do you beat that?
But I don't think you
can. How do you do that?
I don't think you can have literature inside of a polling place on election day. I don't think you can.
You can't have
that.
It inside, but you can hand it, you know, within the 100-foot mark.
No, there were candidates, I understand, who had literature inside the polling place on election day.
Ooh, that is a violation.
That's a violation. Exactly. And so there were so many things. Yeah. And so how does that even happen? How does somebody make a mistake that big?
You know, and the fact that the election judge didn't say, hey, you know what sounds good? You got to go. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This has got to go. You know, also now going to the election judge thing, mm-hmm. like when you're promised $15 an hour, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But then all of a sudden they're finding out they're only making $13 an hour. I mean, that's disparaging. And then I heard from a lot of election judges after the machines did what they did, they said, we're done. We quit. We couldn't do this again. Because the machines have just stressed people out. The elections stress people out having, you know, some places had dual machines, some didn't. And like where I voted at, they had machines segregated, which I'm like, why the hell would we do that? We've never done that before. You know, why don't we just all get in the machine and we vote for who we vote for and keep it pushing? You know, that just to me is more
divisive. You know, I saw the segregation too, and I wondered myself. I had never noticed that either, where the machines were segregated. Was this something that was done for the first time? Because that's the first time I've seen it.
I've never seen it. It may have happened before, but I've never seen it.
Okay. Terry, Marvin.
Marvin, yes.
Uh-huh. So let's educate your audience on election judges and how this process come about. So in December, both parties meet and have a meeting called a county executive meeting where they vote to appoint, where they vote for election judges, polling places, and equipment to be used during the primary election. That takes place in December. Also, a meeting takes place which determines the order of the ballot, who goes number one position, number two position in each office, if they're a competitive office. The county commissioner's court, which includes the county judge and the four county commissioners, appoints county judges to serve during the primary elections. In the primary elections, there are two elections that are taking place. There's the Democratic primary and the Republican primary. So you have an option of voting in the different elections. You can be a Republican and vote in the Democratic primary. Therefore, Texas is an open primary state. You can be a Democrat and vote in the Republican primary. Nothing prohibits you from doing that. The judges in advance are already known and are appointed, and then they have a liaison with each party that works with the county election administrator to provide the staffing. Tarrant County Election is contracted to conduct the primary election. The parties staff the polling places. There's an emergency judge procedure that goes in effect when the parties can't provide that staffing. The county tries to go out and find that staffing, do temp staffing. I'm still critical of the hours of training that's provided to the judges. And so the judges are known in advance, and when they do drop up at a short notice, they try to backfill those. But that process is all going on back in December of getting the judges, getting the polling places, determining the number of polling places. That's taking place, and they're working with what's called the Tarrant Election Board to get that done. There are two different committees. There's the board and the commission. The commission hires and fires the election administrator. The board
appoints judges, determine equipment, the canvas ballot and board is determined through that board itself. So an election judge comes from being a election or precinct chair. The precinct chair is appointed by the county commissioner to serve as presiding judge during the primary election. And then the authority for that person to execute the office of election judge comes from the Secretary of State through what's called a writ of election. That's really how the process works in a nutshell.
Hmm. So the same thing applies with the shortage of poll workers. How did we get there?
There's a number of reasons, either from illness or something just happened, emergency happened, a death in the family. Sometimes that happened, or sometimes people decide that they just don't want to do it anymore, and that happens too. And then you have COVID, which could be an issue as well. But for the most part, I've been election judge for 20 years, and I can tell you we have some judges at the last minute drop out, and it's the responsibility of the presiding election judge to recruit election officials. The state statute says you must have at least 3 individuals there before you can open up a polling place on election day. So if somebody calls me at the last minute, and I've had that before where I had to grab somebody in the middle of the night to come over and help me out because you can't open up a polling place without having 3 election officials there. So the judge is responsible for recruiting election workers. The county part is responsible for recruiting election judges.
I think one of the
– go ahead. And I would just say to the point that both of the gentlemen are speaking to, I would just say this. You can never have too many. Overstaffed. And when the day of election comes, you can know, okay, you can let people know, hey, we won't need your services. We got it covered. Overstaffed. You can never have too much. You can never have too much, especially dealing with something like this. In some instances in life, yeah, you could probably have too much or something, you know, too much. You're drinking too much. Yeah, you might need to chill out, you know, this, that. You know what I'm saying. But overstaffed. Elections, overstaffed. Overstaffed. Have people already on standby. We had 12 people call out. I mean, we got 100 more on standby. Call them up.
Mm-hmm.
And I guarantee out that 100, you're going to get somebody to say, okay, we'll be there. We already trained. We're ready. Because I think with this, if you bring people in on the day of or the last minute trying to train them, those people are more likely to miss something as compared to somebody who's had the necessary training that they need to try to, you know, catch everything. You bring me in at the last minute, I'm thinking, oh, man, I ain't going to be here all day. It's one day I'm getting paid. Okay. If I miss something, what, you know, look for this, look for that. I'm not going to catch everything, you know. So, overstaff.
Carrie,
Hi,
Marvin.
Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Yes, to Adrian's point, they do overstaff in most cases. It's really difficult to get someone to do that particular job because it's boring at most times. It's tedious. And so a lot of people don't want to do it. Sometimes they have to go to temp staffs to get additional people to do that job. They normally go to the parties because the party has a huge base of supporters for the party that can come in and do the job. And it's real difficult times. And I can tell you, they do overstaff and try to, and I like the way you're going with this particular conversation, Adrian, but I would even be willing to entertain having not only employees of the county, but have temporary seasonal employees that are always on call, that you pay a nominal fee per month to keep them on to the election, you know, maybe $10 a month, and they don't show up and do anything, but then when you need them there, they do show up for those election cycles.
Okay.
That's an excellent point as well. You know, another thing I had a problem with, and I think Trevor spoke to this, the separation of Republican workers versus Democratic workers at the poll this time, because, you know, there was a situation that the Democratic Party alleges that after the election, one of the Republican election judges that was hired by the Republican Party came over to the Democratic headquarters and threatened them, stating that he had to work part of his time helping the Democratic side, and he was not hired to do that. That should never have happened, because to me, a poll worker should be a poll worker, and it shouldn't be a poll worker is a Republican poll worker and a poll worker is a Democratic poll worker. That's just ludicrous to me. And so that whole scenario or situation just seems like it's something so off there that I don't even get that someone would come to work and be disgruntled because they had to spend a little time working on the other side, as though, you know, we as a country is so divided that we can't, you know, go to work and work, you know, both sides of the table. That's just ridiculous to me. So I don't know. I just think the whole thing with the voters being turned away at certain locations because they did not have Democratic poll workers makes no sense to me. Period.
Carrie, Marvin, and you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. So you have two different elections going on. They're just occurring in the same building. And so the Democratic Party is financed through the Secretary of State to conduct the primary election for the Democratic Party. The Republicans the same way. It just so happened they're in the same building. And so they're separating people who want to vote in a particular primary election. If they had to use two separate buildings, that's where the confusion would come in. So you would have people, why am I going over here and why not here? So the parties get together and create one location and have two separate elections going on there. The judge that take that oath should have processed Democratic voters. You're taking the same oath as a Democratic judge. It doesn't matter, and you're absolutely right. Now, in November, they'll come together, and you'll have one election crew instead of two.
Well, then the whole thing makes even less sense to me then, because if someone came in as an election judge and they understood that going in, I just don't understand someone then becoming disgruntled and going over to the Democratic headquarters and threatening them to the point that the police had to be or the sheriff's department had to be called in and the whole office shut down for a week or so. So very interesting is all I can say on that. I did not know that that was how the process was, but very interesting. You know, as we talked earlier about,
yeah,
I know,
I know at the Southwest sub courthouse, they were working together, you know, because they had issues with the machines on both sides. So they understood, you know, that, hey, we're going to have to work together, no problem. And they had no issues with that. Well, you know, from what I understand, there was no issues with them working together. Now, I know there's other locations where just good luck with that, you know. But, I mean, you know, we both, like Marvin said, we both take the same oath. I mean, this is our election. This shouldn't matter, you know, to everybody, no matter if you're Democrat or Republican. Hey, we should be helping each other because, you know, at some point in time, we're going to have to come together one way or the other. You know, we have to learn how to work across the board, you would think. And that goes for both sides.
Something's just not adding up. But I just found it very strange that, you know, the person's argument was that they wanted to be paid for the time that they had to work on the Democratic side. So I guess if it hadn't appeared to be such a divided process, the person wouldn't have felt that they needed to be paid twice. You know, it's more like it normally is where, you know, you just go in and however you vote is however you vote. But that's interesting. Just the whole thing just seems kind of odd to me. You know, we talked about the candidates' names not being on ballots in precincts where they should have been. I just still have a real big issue with that. I really just question if that really just needs to be looked into just a little bit more because I just question. I think Adrian made the point, and I have to agree. Always look at situations. Whenever one person says something, they represent a group. I never look at one person's complaint as just an individual complaint. I always look at a complaint is representative of a group of people. That said, the question is how big is the group? Because that one person that contacted you probably spoke for who knows how many others who would never make the call, who just, you know, for whatever reason, didn't have the time to address it, didn't understand what happened, but didn't take the time to investigate, you know, any number of reasons. But somebody needs to explain if that was just not an isolated incident.
Hey, quick question to Mr. Sutton. Now, let's go back to Ms. Peoples as a Democratic chair. I think, you know, you said it was her and two other people at that time that was, you know, possibly being considered. And it's not just to you, Mr. Sutton. I think, could it be possible, because her sister was a judge, if I'm not mistaken, right, in Tarrant County, right?
Yeah.
Yes, that's correct. Is it possible that her being, you know, people who have in positions of power have a little more sway on things, you know? So, is it Marilyn Hicks, I believe, Judge Marilyn Hicks used to be a judge? Is it possible that because of her position and who she was, that she was able to maybe give a nod to the Democratic Party at the time that, hey, my sister XYZ, you know? And Ms. Sutton, now this question is to you. How did you feel about Ms. People's leadership? How do you feel about her leadership, and how do you feel about her as the how do you feel about her leadership ability, and how did you feel about her as a Democratic chairperson?
Critical, and I did it, and I made my statements publicly in an interview that I thought that even though we had two candidates win Tarrant County barely, both Biden won in 2020 and 2018, Beto won, but there were no countywide candidates that won. We had no people in positions that can make public policies. We shouldn't be doing a victory lap because people at the top won, but the real meat in this thing is when you have someone in power in Tarrant County that have real authority to make changes, meaningful impact in the lives. And that's where I would regard as success and leadership at the leadership level. I did not see that. So I'm real critical of that. That you have to be able to show that you're making progress. Yeah, we made progress in getting some voters out, but at the end of the day, I've been a precinct chair and presiding election judge for 20 years. We've yet to secure a win of a countywide elected office in Tarrant County. And so it's not just West People, it's the rest of the county chairs as well.
And I think regarding Beto at that time, he was running against Ted Cruz. What if anything, would him running against Ted Cruz gonna do for us here in Tarrant County? You know what I'm saying?
It has nothing to do with, and that's why I say I'm critical of the leadership.
Yeah.
It would be anybody who was in the leadership position I'm critical
right.
of, because I think you have to show progress.
And I noticed that for it to be such a machine like it is, because both parties are they're a machine. They got plenty of money behind, they got plenty of backing, plenty of influence. But it's like they pick and choose when they want to get behind certain people. They pick and choose. It's like, you know what I'm saying? They pick and choose. So that's why I think that's where political PACs come in at. If you think about it, I think political PACs have more power than the actual parties, if you think about it, because of political PACs.
They
just like the lobbyists. We know the lobbyists pretty much, politicians ain't doing nothing without them lobbyists in their ears. You know what I'm saying? But those political PACs, those are the ones that hold power and hold sway and able to, you know, stir up some things, you know?
I agree. Listen, Bud Kennedy reported this today. Thank you to the person who sent this to me. Of the 815 primary election ballots rejected by Tarrant Elections for lack of accurate ID numbers, 812 were the Democratic primary. 815, but 812 were Democrats. Somebody needs to sound the alarm. Something's very wrong with that. I don't know if anybody heard me, but something's very wrong there.
Yeah, it does seem one-sided, doesn't it?
Yeah,
I think historically you have more Democratic ballot by mail applications than most, and so, but the rejection, and I don't know if it's a poor effort on the Democratic Party to educate the voters on the change of the new law that says, hey, you need to do this in order to make sure that ballot is cured. And so I don't want to say that the Democratic Party failed the process. I just want to say historically more seniors that are Democrats do ballot by mail than most. And so this was a kind of a game changer for people who depended on the ballot by mail portion of the application, that they didn't get what they thought they were going to get out of the process, because a lot of them were rejected. And we knew statewide they were rejecting at a high rate.
Something's wrong, Al. It says nearly 950 mail-in ballots were rejected in the Tarrant County, in Tarrant County during the month Democratic and Republican primaries, mostly because of identification requirements in Texas new election laws. It says the new law, which went into effect in December, requires people to include the driver's license number, election identification certificate number, DPS personal identification number, or the last four digits of their Social Security number. The number must identify the same voter identification on the voter's application for voter registration, the law states. Numbers from the Tarrant County Elections Department show that there were 945 ballots rejected total in the Democratic and Republican primaries. Most of those, 815, were related to ID requirements. Of the 815, 812 were in the Democratic Party. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. Either, to me, it says either these people were just, or whoever was doing the selection was biased, or something else is going on.
So, Carrie,
mm-hmm.
Marvin, if I registered 25 years ago and
mm-hmm.
I registered with my Social Security number,
mm-hmm.
and when I applied for a ballot by mail application, I used my driver's license number, that would trigger a rejection from the election office because I did not use the Social Security number I used to initially register to vote. That's what the problem is. And
but
so
see,
if you put both...
But if the truth be told, that was trickery to begin with, because I've had my voter registration card for a really long time. I don't remember which I used. So if they were trying to be fair in the process, they would have said, we need both IDs, just in case.
Yes, ma'am.
You are not aware of what you use when you got this voter registration card. It really should have been that simple.
It is. So what I will tell you, ballot by mail is kind of like a luxury. So if you're 65 or older, you have the option of voting by mail, or you can still go to the polling place. If you're disabled, there's a curbside voting option that are available to you. If you're going to be outside the county, which is totally different, then you have no other choice but to go with the ballot by mail. So kind of almost a luxury, because you have almost 11 days of early voting, and then you have election day. And so if you're outside the county, there's no way to get there, then you have the option, that's your only other option, is ballot by mail during the early voting period. So I think the law in itself really hurt people who use the process, who've been doing it for years and years, and now that the additional requirements spawned them and they don't know, there was no real public service announcement to educate voters on that process. I think both parties could have done a better job. I think it really hurt more the Democratic voters than any from the numbers you've just quoted.
Or the third option.
I think.
Go ahead, Adrian.
No, go ahead with the third option. Go ahead.
Or the third option was that a whole bunch of bad applications were sent in because they were fraudulent and they didn't have those numbers that were needed. Now, that could be a conspiracy theory, but it's mine.
Carrie, I'll go back to what Bob always said. And now it makes sense when Bob says it. Voter education. My thing is this. The Democratic Party, I just said we're gonna say them, because it seemed like they had the most hiccups. Had enough time. It's not like the Republican Party. We know who runs the legislation. It's not like they did anything on the table. When they said they were to change this legislation, it made the news. It didn't just make local news, state news. It made world news. Okay, Texas is changing their voting laws. That didn't just make the Texas news. That made national news that we're changing voting laws. They had enough time to say, okay, we know who vote by mail. Y'all know who's voting by mail. Come on, people. The election process is not just something new. They know who votes by mail. What do we need to do? Y'all got all this money. Y'all raising all this money. Put money into getting out into these communities. If you got to rent out a space, put the literature out and say, hey, those who vote by mail, meet us at this date and this time. We're going to have a form. We're going to show you how to do this process if you're planning on voting by mail. Don't just leave it to the people to say, okay, well, you know, I'm voting by mail. My ballot came in. Well, I don't know how. Our elderly people, they got enough to deal with. You know, they have enough to deal with as it is.
But hold on, Andrew. Can somebody pull up that process? Because I remember somebody reporting that you also had to write your numbers inside the fold of the envelope, which made no sense. So not only did you have to put it on the form itself, but it also had to be in the fold of the envelope. Now, that's like how many bubbles are in a bar of soap kind of BS, my opinion. I'm just saying. And so I remember somebody saying that that was the case, that you could not just fill out the form. You had to put the numbers inside the fold. And if you missed that, then the whole thing was going to be rejected. And so that's really kind of that kind of trickery from way back, you know, how they treated us black folks and asking or giving us an opportunity to vote. And so I just wonder if that was part of it, too. But if somebody can pull that out,
Carrie, it's Marvin.
Mm-hmm.
Carrie, so we're talking about two different steps here. We're talking about an application to get a ballot. That does not require an additional envelope. You just fold the application up and sit it in a Tarrant County election. It still requires identifying information. And then you're talking about the process once you receive the ballot. Once you mark the ballot, there's a special envelope called the carry envelope that requires certain information on it. So there are two different things. One where you request to receive a ballot. The other is when you receive the ballot, the process of sending that ballot back into the elections.
Okay, guys. Okay. A lot of steps to make.
Yes, ma'am. So if you never receive a ballot, that means your application for a ballot was rejected. And you should have got a notification saying it was rejected. So it allows you to either send in another form or cure the application. Once you get the ballot, in order for the ballot to be accepted, it has to have identifying information as well. So once you complete the marking of the ballot, select your choice of candidates, you put it in a special envelope, and then it's put in a carrier envelope that has information on it. And that's called a carrier envelope. Then the ballot sent in. If it doesn't have the required identification, that ballot, the actual ballot, is rejected.
To me, it really seems like if you really wanted everyone to have a fair shot at voting, that you would have said something to the effect, if you have any questions before you submit this ballot or application, call us at blah, 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 and we will walk you through this or provide you with the needed information you need to put on this application via you, of course, providing us with information that will let us know that we're talking to the right person, that, you know, we can't just give you this, but you would have to, you know, tell us your driver's license number and your social or whatever to make sure that we know we're talking to the right person. So it could have been a process made easier had they really been trying to afford everyone an opportunity to vote, in my opinion, my humble opinion. Does anybody disagree with that? I don't, okay. Here's what it is. I just think a lot of stuff happened with this election because the desired outcome was wanted by certain groups of people. And I think in order to make it happen, they made the process harder. So if you jump through 20 hurdles and stood on one foot, then you agree?
I agree.
Okay.
I think given the seriousness of this, see, we got, you know, voting is not something we, Marvin speaks, highly. He's regarding this voting process. He believes in it. We all should believe in it. It's a process that we, you know, it just, not only does it make you feel a part of something, you know, but it's the grander scheme. It's what like helps our country to stay the way it is, because we see what other countries go through with dictatorships, you know, or dictatorships or families who just stay in power for year after year after year after year, dynasties or whatever you want to call them, monarchs or whatever. We don't have the issue. We don't have the issue. So yes, the voter, it's important to me as well. So I think just they fumbled the ball. This cannot be. And then they always want to make the use the talking points. Well, you know, during primaries, it's people don't really come out during primaries. They don't really come out to, okay, how can we get people to start coming out more? Quit saying what people are not doing, because everybody's doing everything nowadays. So please stop telling me what people are not doing. Please stop telling me what people are not doing. Y'all ask for too much money. Y'all ask for too much money. Both parties use those divisive tactics to keep people from really thinking for themselves. To keep people from really thinking for themselves, you know. And then you flood my mailbox every 2 years with stuff. I be like, who is this person? Who is that person? Who is that? You flood my mailbox with all your literature and all that. It only goes in the trash. So, come on now. We're not even educating our young people. I got interested in voting at the age of, I think I was 18, I think it was, 19 maybe. I was at school. Never forget, my teacher said one thing. She said, how many of you in this class are 18 or older? Raise your hand. Everybody raise their hand. She said, how many of you are registered to vote? Nobody raised their hand. She simply said, shut up. She said, you don't have nothing to say. From that point on, I never forgot that. When she said what she said, she explained herself, why she was saying it, and the importance of voting and getting involved. I registered myself to vote, and I've been doing it ever since. So it's important to me. I'm sorry, y'all.
Go ahead.
No, I'm finished, Carrie. I'm finished.
Somebody was coming behind you. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
I'm Carrie, Marvin. So the application for ballot by mail does have the phone number for Tarrant County Elections, as well as Secretary of State, in case you have questions. That's actually on the application. Now, you're aware that some campaigns and some candidates can send something similar, ballot by mail application, as long as it has the information, they will accept it and send the ballot out. But the one from Tarrant County does have, if you have any questions, in bold font. My criticism is the font is too small to read for most older people. And so it does have the information, the phone number and email address, as well as the Secretary of State phone number, if you have any questions about the ballot by mail application.
Thank you for clarifying that. Thank you. You know, the thing is, to piggyback off of what Adrian just said, you know, we're always saying voter registration drive as though that's going to cure everything. But if people are not excited about the process because they feel like I'll go to the poll and I'll vote, but yet, you know, there may be a situation in which, you know, things are not done right, so therefore, why vote? And so to speak to that, all three of you all have run in elections, you know, for political office. You know, what do you say to somebody that is totally turned off about the process and questions why even bother voting? Anybody can jump in. Trevor.
Like, this is what I would tell them. I said, look, you know, mailers, okay, what, you know, that I'm like that with mailers. I throw them in the trash. I don't care if I know who you are or not. I'm throwing them in the trash. I want to get to know who you are. Go to their meet and greets. This whole, you know, what bothers me is people like, oh, okay, good, I got a green card, made it easy on me. Okay, good, convenience. Oh, I got the link letter. No, go find out what they're about, because you look at their background. I mean, there is resources out there to look at what kind of donations they've taken. You know, if they've taken PAC donations, that's usually a red flag to be careful on that candidate. You know, you need to look at stuff like that. Like I tell them, go find out what they're about. You know, if they're what everybody wants, find out why. A lot of times you'll find out when you do your own research, well, they're only blinded by the party because, oh, the party got behind them. That means they're great. Yeah, okay. We finding out, not really, you know. And don't be afraid of, you know, hey, look, this person right here caused X, Y, and Z, and we need to know why they caused X, Y, and Z, because guess what? If they're still doing X, Y, and Z, they're going to bring X, Y, and Z here, and we don't want that. We don't need that. You know, and not everybody is a conservative. If their financial background screams not conservative, run. Run far and hard. That's what I tell everybody. Get to know who they are. Find out what they're about. And listen for what they don't tell you so you can find out what they're not saying to you. I mean, and that's kind of what I tell everybody. I said, look, you can't give up. If you give up, you don't have a voice, period. And I tell people all the time, you know, especially on the Republican side, the biggest thing I tell them, I said, there is nobody coming to save you. You are here to save you but you. I said, all Trump did was drain the swamp. I said, that's it. Guess what? It's your turn. Put your hand in the plow. I said, it's time for you to do your work. You can't depend on him. He did what his job. His job was to expose, and now here we are. And we have to do our job to make sure we elect the right people. That is our job, to put our hand in the plow and not expect, you know, a savior.
Makes sense. Adrian, what were you saying?
Oh, I would say to people to encourage them to get in the process of, you know, wanting to vote and you know, see what's going on. I just say tell them to think about themselves, you know. You got to realize everything, if you don't get involved, you got to realize people still making decisions going to be making decisions that can affect your life for the good or for the better or the worse, you know. They're going to be making decisions that can affect your life for the better or the worse, and that's just the law of the land. So I would say to get involved, you know, ask questions. I always tell about people, I don't align myself with either party because, like you say, it's good and bad in both, you know. I try to stay down the middle. Get people say, well, you might be an independent. Okay, well, I roll the independent. You know, they the ones who are not really talked about or put on the stage. But, hey, I love it. I don't have to be, you know, out front in things. I like to be down the middle so I could, you know, I can't be compromised. So I encourage people, hey, you get involved because this is about you. Just make it about you. Make it personal. This is about you. Hey, if you don't get involved, then guess what? They can make a decision that can affect your life for the rest of your life, or they can make a decision that can help to make your life better for the, you know, so on and so forth. And then you got to do it for the people who can't do it. There are people who are still not able to do it, who want to do it, but because of the decision they had made in their life, you know, our convicted felons, you know, or people who just don't have the opportunity and wish they could, do it for them, you know, do it for them. So it's bigger than one individual, you know, it's bigger than one individual. So, and then I don't want to be here in America.
Mm-hmm.
I look at other countries. I look at other countries. I wouldn't want to live. Yeah, if I was in one of those other countries where they are the dictatorship rule or where the governments just do what they want to do and crush people, I would have been on fled. I'd be like some of the people who are trying to leave. Get involved because you see what people are doing now. People leaving those countries. They're not just leaving because they're in pot. They're leaving because of the wickedness of their government. That's where it starts at, with the government. Mm-hmm. So get involved because look around you. Just get involved.
Gotcha. Marvin, for someone who's trying
to kind of piggyback on that a little bit, is that, you know, the biggest thing that I found out when I was canvassing, like, the South Side, like Hemphill, Mays, Stalkup, and all them, a lot of what I was told, you know, and out of the 100 houses, I counted 36 people that I talked to, they thought the president runs everything. And I'm like, oh, no. I said, look, and I showed them on the voter lookup, I said, see, here's my precinct chair. Here's my senator. Here's my congressman. These people run the locals. And they're like, what? And so, you know, it's like what Marvin said and what even Adrian said. It's all about education, educating them. So, I mean, you know, a lot of people, that's what they thought, especially in the impoverished neighborhoods that, you know, that work so much that they don't even have time to really, you know, look at things and whatnot because they're too busy working to try to just keep their household. So, I mean, I agree. Definitely agree.
Marvin.
Hey, thanks so much for allowing me to be on the panel. It's such a pleasure and honor to hang out with this fine group of panelists. So I always tell people the only reason government exists is when you can't individually resolve a problem. You depend on those resources, the tax. The government has the ability to tax and take money, and they use that money to improve your quality of life. For example, firefighters, police department, economic development, libraries, parks and recreation at the local level. And there's such a disconnect at the local level. People are more concerned with the partisan races than where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. And I always tell them, you know, I go out to high schools and I have a conversation about name something that government doesn't regulate. And you can't, whether it's your contact lens, whether it's the hair dye, whether it's your genes, government regulates everything. And so you want to be part of who regulates and who restricts, put restrictions on you. And I always tell them at the end of the day, always stay connected with the vote. A lot of people think that once you cast that ballot, it's the end of the process. Your candidate wins and it's over. No, stay connected with your vote. You've got to hold a candidate accountable for issues that are important and that you're passionate about. If I'm passionate about our roads, the quality of our roads, if I'm passionate about the way our library looks, the quality of the books come in, stay connected with that council member that you supported. Go to the county meeting or go to the city council meeting, go to the county commissioner's meeting. Stay engaged in the process because no matter what happens, our democracy depends on you to be a participant in it. And if you don't vote, the other 3% that vote will determine the outcome of your community, will determine the outcome of your county. So it's important and that we hold the power to what takes place in our communities, and that power is articulated in the vote. So always stay connected and engaged with your vote. It doesn't end at the polling place. It continues until the next election.
Wow. Y'all listen, this is the close of another show. Thank you so much to my panel for being with me tonight. Thank you to Mr. Marvin Adrian, you know, who's a fixture around here, for hanging out with me tonight. Thank you to the audience for listening. Listen, tell someone about the show. We're here each and every Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. If you like what we do right here on Let's Talk Fort Worth, listen, donate to the show. We have a PayPal account, PayPal.me, at Let's Talk Fort Worth. Listen, y'all, we bring you great content every week. We do our best. We also have a Facebook page we ask that you follow. It's Let's Talk Fort Worth on Facebook. Each week we try our best to do our due diligence in researching these shows, making sure we bring you great panels like we did tonight, making sure that our information is up to date, up to the minute, with letting you know exactly what's going on in Fort Worth. So listen, drop us a line at Let's Talk Fort Worth at AOL.com. That's Let's Talk Fort Worth at AOL.com. If you have an idea for a show, if it's in line with what we do here on Let's Talk Fort Worth, we will definitely consider putting it on. Listen, until next Friday, this same time, we say goodnight.